that's actually a point too that I wanted to make, is I never knew how much I would appreciate this career for the flexibility that it has, because it's given me the opportunity to really be present as a mom when I need to be. I was never built to be that 9-to-5-er. I think that I would have, I need some variety in my life. And I also, having flexibility, I can be at all your games. I can be the volunteer. I can be in your class. And that's, I mean, they love that, right? That's what I love about this career too, is I do get a lot of freedom to kind of really grind when I need to, but then really also turn it off. I mean, you know how it goes. You don't really turn off. Yeah. I've been the person at the pool in Mexico with a laptop.
Welcome back to Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell. I'm Mark Dolan, your host, and today's episode of Time Tested Mastery, I'm joined by someone who's truly carved out her own lane in the Big Bear Lake real estate market, Allie Grant Shoemaker. Before real estate, Allie built her skills in communication and media. She studied communications at Cal State San Bernardino and had her sights set on a career in the entertainment industry. That background gave her a sharp eye for presentation, storytelling, and connection, tools that now set her apart as a realtor. In 2013, Allie entered the world of real estate with the Tyler Wood Group, one of the highest performing teams in Big Bear. That experience gave her a front row seat to high-level systems, client care, and what it takes to succeed in a competitive resort market. But here's what really stands out. In 2019, she earned her broker's license, and in 2024, she stepped out to build her own brand under the RE/MAX Big Bear banner. Allie has leaned into personalization, blending her professional polish, her love for the Big Bear Mountain community, and a high-profile marketing presence that makes her listings shine. Today, she's known not just for results, but for creating a client experience that feels tailored, authentic, and unforgettable. So, Allie, I want to say welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and thank you for that great intro.
So glad to have you here and to hear you share a little bit about yourself. So, you know, can you give the listeners today a little bit of a background, you know, sort of expanding on that intro that I gave you, telling how you found yourself getting into the real estate business?
Yeah, I don't know that initially it ever really called to me. There's a lot of real estate in my family. My grandma was actually a top producer back in the 60s in Seattle. And my dad has one of those 00 license numbers. So I think we even looked back once and he's an older number than Tim. He's never practiced real estate, but he's always held his license. So, you know, I had just got out of college. I'd been I like you said, I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I wanted to do broadcast journalism. I wanted to be Julian Rancic. And I got an internship in LA, and I was there for 6 months and they offered me a job and I knew it wasn't for me. It was the whole cutthroat thing and just kind of trying to claw your way to the top was just, I'm a small town girl and it wasn't for me. So I kind of, you know, came back to Big Bear and I was working at a restaurant for a couple of years. And my dad, who's always pushed me, was like, you need to do something. You got to figure it out. And so he sent me real estate books. And I, you know, I was taking it at a very slow pace, you know, going through a couple chapters a day, maybe. And then Tyler Wood and his wife would come in to where I was working a lot. And he had kind of caught wind that I was doing it. And him and Tim approached me and said, this is what this looks like. And it was at the time the perfect opportunity. And so I kind of fast tracked doing my schooling. And that's the beginning.
Okay. So you have family that has some history with real estate, but it was not really what you were thinking when you moved to the Big Bear area or when you were thinking about your career.
No. I mean, I started in school in San Diego and then I met my husband up here, which is why I ended up at Cal State San Bernardino. And I kind of did communications. I was thinking, you know, entertainment, I'm going to do this. And when that didn't work out, I kind of just, it's like, you know, I'm still young. I can take a couple years to figure it out. But no, and it's funny too, because my parents have had their, like I said, had their license forever, and my grandma was in it, and it was never anything that was talked to me about, like, maybe you should pursue that, until it was a, hey, we need to figure out what you're doing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're approached by, you know, Tim and Tyler, and I know Tim can be very persuasive because he was my mentor for years. So what was your thought process like when you started getting into the business? Because I don't know, did you know that you'd be successful? Were you hoping? What did it feel like to start?
You know, Tim and Tyler had a lot of success with agents. I mean, if you look at their track record, pretty much every top agent in Big Bear has at one time worked for them. And I, you know, I know myself as a person. I've always been, you know, a really hard worker. Like I, you know, I very systematic, you know, want to finish things, want to do them right. And so I definitely had high expectations, and I knew I was in the right place. I was really fortunate, to be honest. I mean, truly my career has been like a fair, like the perfect storybook. I started in an upmarket. So I started in 2013, right when things started to, you know, start climbing back up. And I was in this great position to be working for this company. And as you know, they had this kind of structure where it helped in the beginning because you weren't solely focused on making a commission check because they were also paying you. So there was this whole system. And then from there, I mean, pretty quickly, I became, when we, you know, left, when Tim decided to sell Coldwell and we merged with Remax, I became Tyler's buyer's agent. So, and then it just has always continued to go up. And, you know, so I had a really great opportunity to kind of build my sphere while doing it under, you know, some really great teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, looking back, you know, is there any part of your backstory with your school training and your entertainment, you know, plans? Were there any things that you learned skill-wise in that background that you feel has helped you in your real estate career?
You know, it's funny. The school, probably not the schooling side of it. And then when I did kind of the internship stuff, that was very like entertainment industry focused. I will say, though, that being there, it's really intimidating. I mean, you're around a lot of high profile people. When I get in situations where I don't feel confident, I get nervous. And so it put me in a lot of uncomfortable, like not, you know, in a way where you kind of feel like the smallest person in the room. And, you know, so I think it definitely helped me have conversations, which obviously that's all we do is have conversations, right? And it's with all different kinds of people. And so I think in that way it was helpful.
Okay. So when you were doing your internships, I think if I heard it right, you were in your internships, you were put into situations that you might have felt a little bit intimidated by the guests that you were with. And
yeah.
So that experience sort of helped you overcome that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I was young. And so there's a lot of learning to do. Obviously, like, you know, just like real estate, I'm a completely different person than I was when I was, you know, starting off. So it comes with time.
Yeah.
Time and lots of practice and just doing it and failing and learning how to do it different, I guess.
Well, and I think that's a really important point that we'll probably work on a little bit here, but also come back to, is the difference between what it felt like to start and where you are now. Because a lot of people that are going to be listening to this episode today are people that have not achieved what you've achieved or don't have the time in the client base that you have. And so when they hear your success and the things that you're doing, they might say, well, that's not for me. So mm-hmm. Can you go back and talk about what's different today versus how it started for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I started out, I was young. I was 24, you know, just kind of, and you know how it goes. You can get your license, but it doesn't mean you know the business.
Right.
And so in the beginning, it was a lot of teaching moments, right? A lot of, you shouldn't have done, okay, whoops, like, how do we learn from this? Because I mean, I remember being thrown into my first transaction and sitting in a room with my clients and they're asking the most basic questions. And I'm sitting there like, just, you know, so I think it was in the beginning and honestly, all the way up until when I kind of went out on my own, a little bit more systematic in the sense where I was on a team and we had a very like specific structure. I did my own kind of little like social media pages and stuff, but we were more like, you know, the team, and I didn't have to do any lead generation. So it was kind of a, you showed up, you know, you did your time. And so in that sense, my business was very different. I wouldn't say, you know, I've kind of always operated my business with the same mindset of, you know, the way like customer service level, like all of that. But now my business is just different. It's, I mean, I'm on my own. And so I do, you know, different things now, because when I, you know, was with Tyler for so many years, it was a little bit easier in that sense. I think it's just now I have my own systems and, you know, own lead generation and stuff like that. So it's just different. But for a lot of years, it was kind of the same, but a lot of growth. I mean, I'm still learning. I still get asked questions.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, they're intrigued when they get into real estate because they see that there's a lot of money in it. They hear that there's a lot of money in it. And, you know, the reality is that you can spend, you know, less than $1,000 and get your real estate license today and get into a business where people expect to earn 50, 100, 200, 300, you know, they can earn $1 million or more. But you usually can't do that without getting some education, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have the tools, you know, like that's, I know I always had the tools, but I mean, if you don't have the teachers, I mean, I was super fortunate. My dad, hardest worker I know, he's been my mentor my whole life. And I was so lucky because Tim and Tyler remind me so much of him. And so I grew up with this person that always pushed me and, you know, wanted me to be great. And then kind of just transitioned into my professional, you know, career and got that same type of guidance. I would not. I mean, the things that I learned over the years, I mean, the conversations that I've had some incredible teachers, yourself included.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, I mean, and it's, you know, and it's so interesting to me that people don't recognize, especially when they're newer, when they're in the business, is that the way that you learn is by talking with other people. I mean, I remember Cindy Pearson, you know, she knew everything that was going on in the market because she would talk to every agent, you know, where'd you get that buyer and what, you know, what did they pay? What did they buy and why and this? And I mean, she was a wealth of knowledge of transactions that she wasn't involved with because she was talking with everyone else. And so Absolutely. she would gather that information. And, you know, and likewise, whenever we run into sort of the real estate training thing back in the day, and I think what it is today is you get thrown into the lion's den, you have some problems in your transaction and you say, help. And the people come and they help you and they, you can dissect it afterwards, but you also, it's on the job training at the same time. And it takes a little bit of time to get there. So yeah, you had great teachers and me too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times, you know, I'd be calling Tyler, hey, what do? You know, and that you can't put a price tag on that. And I could never imagine like trying to do this business on my own in the beginning. I mean, from a lead generation perspective, from an education perspective, from just the support, you know, to know that they've got, you know, he always had my back. And I was really fortunate in that regard.
Yeah. So, you know, I sort of want to go into an area that I know is a little bit sensitive because I had exactly the same thing is that, you know, for many years I worked very closely with Tim on his team, you know, and there was a moment, you know, in our professional business lives where, you know, we went separate ways. And so, you know, I know that it can be difficult, but, you know, can you share a little bit about, you know, why it was the right time? You know, what happened, why it was the right time for you?
Yeah, I mean, my intention was always to at one point be on my own, right? I never put a timeline on it. For me, things have to be very well thought out. I overthink things, everything. And I just kind of always knew, hey, I'm going to know when it's the right time. And it was always a nerve-wracking thing for me because aside from Tyler being my mentor for, you know, over 10 years, him and his wife were also are still our best friends. And so there was also a personal connection as well. And so I wanted to be sensitive to that. But I had kind of got to the point where, you know, after COVID, obviously, you know, we were doing a ton of business. Everyone was. And I was getting to the point where, you know, 22, 23, I was starting to notice you know, like a lot of this is, you know, my repeat business. And I was still getting, you know, good leads. And I knew that if I was going to go out on my own, that there had to be like a plan. It couldn't just be something like, I'm going to go pay Zillow $1,000 a month. I just didn't feel like that was a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could do well with just like my sphere alone, but I felt like I needed more than that to feel secure. So I, you know, I kind of stumbled in late 2023. I stumbled upon this marketing company, and they worked specifically with social media,
mm-hmm.
mostly Facebook. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen. It was very different, and it really called to me. Like, I'm a very, you know, extroverted personality, and it was just really tailored to kind of what I was looking for, and it was different. And so I said to myself, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to put myself out there. And I don't have problems talking to people, but you know, they want you to do listing tours, and it's, you know, on all these different, you know, things. Yeah. And it was a little uncomfortable for a while, but I've, you know, once I got the groove of it and started getting, you know, the attention that I wanted it to get, I think it was probably, you know, close to, it might actually been in 22 that I started, but I would say probably a year later, I was just seeing a ton of success with it. And mm-hmm. I just knew it was my answer. And it just came to me, and I was like, gosh, I have to do this. There was no right time, to be honest, but I just thought, I felt confident. I started, you know, just thinking about it a lot, and I just did it. And, you know, it was great, and it was the right timing, and obviously incredibly thankful for everything that I learned over the years with Tyler. I wouldn't have been as successful as I am without him and his dad. So, but yeah, that's kind of, I guess, how it came about.
Okay. Well, you know, there was a little nugget that I heard in what you were describing there that I want to go back to, is that you started, you know, and we're going to talk about, you know, this marketing program that you're on, because it is incredible. But you said you tried it, and a year later you noticed it was working. Did I hear you right?
Yeah. So the way that it works is they're basically retargeting ads. So the company, you know, you basically do these posts, and there's ad spend behind them. There's ad spend behind all of my listing tours. And they had told me in the beginning, we do this program where we start you off, you know, on it's the fee is heavily reduced, and then it gradually works its way up to full price by 6 months, because it is just one of those things that it takes people seeing, you know, your ads, you know, several times to be like, oh, who's this? You know, whereas now I've been doing it, you know, for several years. And I mean, I get, you know, calls all the time or recognition in town from it, because it's just, you know, people constantly see me now. It definitely was something that took a little bit more time, but you know, all the good things do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I talk with people that are newer or growing in the business and they start a program, I say, don't expect to see results for 18 months. I mean, you know, from the day that I started selling real estate until I felt confident that I knew that I was going to be successful, it was 18 months before I got to that point. And so many people have the mindset, which is, you know, if things don't work after 3 weeks, they want to quit, kind of thing. So I find it fascinating that even your marketing program took several months for you to realize, yeah, absolutely, this is working.
Yeah. No, it definitely did. And they were a little, they're actually, most of their clients are primary home markets. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of like, you're one of our first vacation home market, you know, clients. So this might be interesting, because, you know, they run a lot of local ads. So if you're working in a primary market and you know, have all this recognition, then obviously you're getting a ton of business out of it. But as you know, not a majority of my business isn't from local. So, but yeah,
80% is outside of the bigger areas.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's been great.
Well, I think the things that stand out for me about the marketing program that you're doing is that everybody, you know, has heard Facebook, social media, do this, do that, and do that. But it's really when you do something that is unique where it stands out. I mean, there was a book written, it was called, you know, The Purple Cow. I mean, if you're driving down the road and you saw a purple cow, everybody would stop their car and get out and look at the purple cow, because you don't see a purple cow every day, right? It's something that is absolutely, you know, out of the ordinary. And like so many real estate agents, they don't innovate and they don't create. What they do is they copy what somebody else has been doing. And there's some value in copying best practices for systems, I suppose, but not for marketing, because if you're copying marketing, you're diluting something. You're not standing out, I guess, is probably the way that I would say it. And, you know, so I would have to commend you, because all of the things that you've done, especially over the last, you know, I would say probably the last year, you know, I have noted, I mean, they're just incredibly different from everything else that I see within the Big Bear marketplace. So I want to commend you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, what I really like about them is there's a lot of personalization to it. Like there's a lot of even vulnerability in terms of like, hey, this is me, this is my family. And I think people like that because, you know, real estate transactions, it's sensitive. It's a big investment. People want to feel like they're taken care of, rightfully so. And I've just always been about the personalization approach. Like I want to be your friend, and how can we do this, you know?
Yeah. Very good. Well, I know that everything seems to be clicking along really well for your business right now from my observation. A little bit different question is, whenever we make a change like you made, usually there's things that are surprises to us that we didn't know going into it, things that were unexpected, I guess. Mm-hmm. So when you started doing your own marketing for yourself, you know, was there anything that you ran across that you weren't expecting that you had to overcome?
Like in terms of with what I was doing with the marketing?
Maybe with the marketing, or maybe with running the business. I mean, I want it to be sort of an open-ended question, because anytime somebody makes a change to their business, mm-hmm. I mean, they have a vision of where they think they're going, and then there's usually a couple of surprises that hit them. Is there anything that surprised you?
You know, so the way that it works is basically, so I do this ad spend, right? And then people fill out a form and, oh, I'd like to see this homes list. And so that's kind of how I capture, you know, a lot of the attention. But a lot of those, they're just people that are, you know, hey, I'm curious, you know? So we're talking a lot of cold calling, and not my thing. But it's so funny too, because I actually, it takes a lot of time too, right? I mean, and there's some people that have a gift for it, a few that are in our office. And for me, it's just uncomfortable. Like, you know, I don't want to be calling someone if they don't want me to be calling them. So that's, right. And that's a large part of the business. I mean, I get people that reach out, and I get a lot of leads just that way, where they're intentionally reaching out. But a lot of them, you know, you call and they're like, well, I didn't want you to call me, you know? So
yeah.
The funny part is I wanted to still utilize though the leads. And so I did end up hiring somebody to just kind of call on my behalf, which probably not the best, but it worked out great. And it kind of made me realize like, hey, you got to start just getting a little bit more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you know, just sit in a room. And so I think that was kind of the most surprising part, because I never cold called. And I know that that was a big thing back in the day. So it just was never a thing for my business.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because there's a, you know, the idea of cold calling, it's very different today than it was when I started. And I share this message a lot, is that I was able to get 50 contacts in an hour when I first started, because there were no cell phones. If I called, you know, between 5:30 and 7 o'clock at night, everybody was home typically. Most people answered the phone. If they had an answering machine, it was because they wanted to know who was calling. It wasn't to keep them away, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I had a really short script, and I could talk with 50 people in an hour at that time of the evening because they were there.
Yeah.
Today, you know, you can call for an hour and you'll be lucky to talk with 3 people.
100%. Yeah.
But from a salesperson's standpoint, I don't think it's the cold calling necessarily, you know, from my perspective, that is the issue. It is to talk to people that you don't have rapport with, you don't have a connection with, and that fear of rejection, because you can do that door knocking. You can do that anywhere, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's ever going to be something. We all have our strong suits. It's just not mine.
Yeah. I always, I try to urge, it is so different to be able to start a conversation with somebody that you don't know and work on it long enough to build some rapport and have a conversation with them where they're actually open to it. I mean, that is a skill that can be learned, but it's not natural for most people. And it was not natural for me. I shared with a friend this morning on his podcast that when I was a kid growing up, my mom sold my candy bars for me. I couldn't sell my way out of a cardboard box. So how is it, that, 40 years later, it's become a lot easier? It's because it's something that can be taught.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like, anything in our business that once you do enough of it, it eventually feels a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. So, looking forward, one of the things that is, that is always nice to talk about with professional women is that, is you have a family, you have young kids, and I see them growing up and doing a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. How do you balance all of that? And how do you see the future panning mm-hmm. out for you?
I guess kind of relating it to business and both personal life, I had a really big problem, especially when I was young, saying yes. I still do. Can you help with this? Yes. I've been on the board for 10 years now. when I was younger, it was easier to do because you don't have kids and you've got the free time. And so it was kind of to me like, I can learn from this and I can learn from some of the, older people and different types of things. And so when I had my kids, I don't think that I really understood like how hard it would be to balance family and, my personal life. I first and foremost, and I'm a mom. I don't want my kids to, one day grow up and be like, yeah, we had a great life, but she was never there.
Right.
And so, but that's actually a point too that I wanted to make is I never knew how much I would appreciate this career for the flexibility that it has because it's given mm-hmm. me the opportunity to really be present as a mom when I need to be. I was never built to be that 9-to-5er. I think that I need some variety in my life. And I also, having flexibility, I can be at your, at all your games. I can be the volunteer. I can be in your class. And that's, they love that. Right. And it's, so that really, that's what I love about this career too, is I do get a lot of freedom to kind of really grind when I need to, but then really also turn it off. I mean, you know how it goes. You don't really turn off. Yeah. I've been the person at the pool in Mexico with a laptop, but yeah. So I think it has taken a lot for me to just kind of learn more of a balance because it is hard, but I think it's just really having like a good schedule every day, I'd say like, this is when I'm doing this and this is when I'm doing this and kind of have a plan from the day because, we get calls and all these sorts of things. I like to try and be as present as I can when my kids come home from school. I mean, I pick them up every day after school. Most of the time my husband does a couple of days too. And I'd like to kind of click off everything else that I need to click off in the beginning part of the day and really spend time with them in the evening. So, but it's still, there's days where I fail at it too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you time block your work and you execute your work when you're supposed to be working, mm-hmm. that does free you up for some other things. I want to share a tip with you about saying no, because I have a hard time saying no too. One of the owners of Realty Executives International made the comment to me, it was about 20 years ago, because people would say, hey, do you want to play in this golf tournament or would you do this or would you do that? And he said, let me check my calendar and get back to you. And if they would press him, he said, if you need an answer now, the answer is no. If you let me go check my calendar, I'll see if I can work it out and we can move forward.
Yeah.
But if you're going to press me for an answer now, the answer is no. So let's talk about it that way. So maybe that'll be helpful for you.
Yes, maybe. I buckle under pressure. Yeah. I don't want to disappoint people. That's my problem.
We're problem solvers. We're there to be of service to people. And so we realize that we only get paid when people want us to solve problems for them. And the people that are good at our business are very responsive to that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to have the boundaries. I mean, I know I've struggled with it for 40 years. I mean,
yeah.
I really have.
Well, and that's another thing about not having the 9 to 5, right? Is you get to the 9 to 5 and you shut off and nobody else bugs you after 5 typically. But I like it. I
yeah.
I'll figure it out or I won't.
Okay. Well, let me see if I have any other questions that I wanted to ask you. I know this is a question. Is there any particular major goal that you have, whether it's professional or personal, that is driving you right now, is providing the energy for you right now?
Yeah. I mean, if you would ask me a year ago, I probably would have told you that I would like to have one of the top producing teams in the area. I really, that was my ultimate goal. And, you know, I've talked through that with a variety of different people. And I mean, there's days when I can't manage myself and my kids. And I watched poor Tyler, you know, try and manage us herd of women for, I think I'd like to kind of just focus more on like my own personal goals and just really having the balance in life, like being able to spend time with my family. But I mean, if it were like a goal, like a goal, I mean, we have our, you know, levels of achievement for Rebacks, and I've had my best year yet by quite a long shot. And I'm going to be really close to Chairman's Club. So I just think if I could just get to there or close every year, I'd feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great goal to go after, especially if you have the family life and the personal life that you want to have along with it. That's a perfect combination.
Yeah. You know, and who knows? I still every once in a while think about the team thing. But really it's cool too, because we've got like a lot of healthy competition in our office. I think that was kind of another thing, is my business really changed in terms of who I was around all the time. I mean, I was always in the Remax or the Fox Farm building and surrounded by the same people, and then went over to the Village, and we're a lot of individual selling agents. And so there's a lot of healthy competition amongst us.
Okay.
It's kind of cool because I never got to see numbers when I was with Tyler. Like I knew my numbers, but it was never something that was like in your face that you could just go look at, you know, on the MLS. So that kind of keeps the fire, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, share with everyone where they can find you, how they can reach you, your website and that information.
Yeah. So just finished my website, actually. It's AllieGrantShoemaker.com. I am most active on my Facebook profile. So it's Allie Grant Shoemaker, Big Bear Real Estate. That's kind of where most of my content lives. It also populates to my Instagram, which is actually the handle Big Bear Real Estate. I'm not sure how I ended up with that one, but yeah, I'm mostly kind of social media driven. So if you want to find me, that's where you can find me.
That's the place to get you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, here's what I want you to take away from today's conversation. Time-tested mastery, life lesson sell, isn't about chasing tactics or copying tools. You can't copy someone else's success story because you're not them. And if you try, at best, you'll just be a watered-down version, always playing from behind. But what you can do is adopt the mindsets that Allie shared with you today. You can build on creativity, you can put in the work ethic, practice patience, like waiting for a year to get the results you're after, and master the skills that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. That's how you create a business that's not just successful, but uniquely yours. Because your story, your voice, and your mastery can't be duplicated. So Allie, thank you for the gems you shared with us today. Your journey, your insights, and your example are all proof that building your own brand with patience, skill, and authenticity really does pay off. And for those listening, if you'd like to connect with her, reach out to her on her social media. She's a powerhouse for anyone looking to buy, sell, or learn from someone thriving in the Big Bear market. So until next time, remember, ordinary people can achieve extraordinary results when they commit to timeless principles of mastery, mindset, and transformation.
Thanks, Mark.